She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away.
What is up, Wisconsin? I'm gonna light on fire because we're talking about money, money, money. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 3 o'clock, and that means it is Maggie and the Millionaires talking money, money, money. My special guest this half hour is Saru Jayaraman. She is the president and co-founder of One Fair Wage, a national organization, campaign, and coalition fighting for a full fair minimum wage for every person who works in America. It's only fitting, Saru, that you would join me next. I just got off with a chef who's a friend of the show, and our focus today, Saru, is tips. We've reached a tipping point on tips, it seems, have we not? Oh, you're muted. That old
yes,
fun
we
thing.
Have. Yes, we have reached a tipping point. Absolutely.
So the New York Times recently ran a headline that said tipping is everywhere. We've got former President Trump, Vice President Harris talking about taxes on tips. Let's just start sort of from the beginning. When I've traveled to Europe, tipping isn't a thing. It doesn't even really exist in a lot of places. How did we get where we are, where frankly, everything now people are being asked to tip? Tipping is built into basically almost every restaurant worker's salary. We have a decreased minimum wage because of the presumption of tips. How'd we get here?
It's a really great question and a sad story. So look, before emancipation in the US, tipping was not prevalent. Actually, Americans hated tipping. They said, this is a European thing. We're Americans. We're a democracy. And you should get good service regardless of what you can afford to tip. And by the way, we think employers should pay their workers, not customers. And waiters in the US at that time, prior to 1853, were mostly white guys. They only got wages, no tips. And in 1853, they went on strike for higher wages, and the restaurant industry instantly started looking for cheaper labor. After emancipation, basically a decade later, 1865, the restaurant industry started hiring newly freed Black people, Black women in particular, and telling them, we're not going to pay you. You're going to get this new thing that's just come from Europe called a tip. And that was the first time in world history that tips were mutated from being an extra or bonus on top of a wage, as they had been for generations in Europe, to becoming a replacement for wages, as they became in the United States, in order to allow two industries to hire Black people for free. The Pullman trains were hiring Black men for free. The restaurants were hiring Black women for free. As you may know, the Pullman car porters organized the first Black union and won the right to one fair wage, a full minimum wage with tips on top, in 1937. And a year later, the National Restaurant Association, which was formed in response to the Pullman car porters organizing, said, we'll make sure our workers never got what the Pullman car porters got. In 1938, they managed to get restaurant workers exempted from the first federal minimum wage that passed in 1938. So we started with a $0 wage for tipped restaurant workers in 1938, and we've gone from $0 all the way up to $2.13 an hour at the federal level, and I believe it's just over $3 in Wisconsin. And so Wisconsin is now one of 43 states that persists with this legacy of slavery for a workforce that's still overwhelmingly women of color, mostly single moms working in very casual restaurants. Most of these workers don't work in fine dining. They work in IHOPs and Denny's and Applebee's, and they struggle with 3 times the poverty rate of other workers. They use food stamps at double the rate. And with the pandemic, they started reaching their, you said there's a tipping point. Well, there's a tipping point for consumers.
But yes.
There's also been a tipping point for workers where they've said enough is enough. and they've started walking off the job in the millions across the country. And that has led to a lot of employers having to raise wages and other industries trying to emulate the restaurant industry by also introducing tipping so that they too can pay the subminimum wage. So until we end this legacy of slavery, you're just going to see tipping spread because every employer will want the boondoggle that the restaurant industry has had for 150 years.
I'm writing down buzzwords, Saru, like boondoggle. It is a legacy of slavery. And to that point, exactly, Saru, when I think about the different restaurants and places that I've been where tipping is expected, what I often find is that men, especially white men, have the most coveted service industry positions. So if you go into any 4 or 5 star hotel or restaurant, I guarantee you that there will be a majority, if not most to all of these servers or folks that are going to get tips at those really high-end places.
That's right.
Are mostly men and nearly entirely white men.
That's right.
Again, being left to women and women of color to do the jobs where they are much more economically at risk and therefore vulnerable to all sorts of terrible behavior like harassment frankly, sexual assault. We know that this is not the best way to do things. And yet I've heard for many years from people that operate service industry businesses, restaurants and bars. I got a ton of friends that work across the service industry panorama, including in hotels, hotel workers. I've heard for a long time, like, we can't afford to pay a base rate or a minimum wage, which again, ain't even minimum wage if we're talking about the federal minimum levels.
That's right.
You've studied this, Saru. What's your response when you hear people saying, I can't pay people a livable wage?
Yeah. So there are 7 states that already require a full minimum wage with tips on top. They're not that far from Wisconsin, California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, Minnesota, Montana, and Alaska all require a full minimum wage with tips on top. And we just won the state of Michigan. We also just won the city of Chicago. Illinois is not that far. You know, we think we might pass Illinois this year. So this is moving across the country. But in the 7 states that have done this forever, California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, Minnesota, Montana, and Alaska, actually, restaurant sales are higher than they are in Wisconsin. Small businesses, restaurants are growing faster than they are in Wisconsin. Overall industry job growth rates are higher. And tipping averages are higher, by the way, because guess who are the best tippers, Maggie? I bet you know who are the best tippers in the United States of America.
Women.
It is women, yes. But specifically, it's restaurant workers. Restaurant workers.
Of course. And other industry folks. Yes.
Because they know what it's like to live on tips. And so when they get paid more, they tip better and tipping goes up. As you said, sexual harassment goes way down. So we already know what happens when you pass this law. And why is it that restaurants do better? Well, don't take it from me. The CFO of Denny's actually admitted on a shareholder call in 2021 that Denny's California, he said, grows faster than any other Denny's anywhere in the country. Why? Because when we pay our people a full minimum wage, guess what they do? They bring their families to eat at Denny's and the guest receipts are higher and the business does better. So everybody does better when workers are paid enough. And we know it's possible. You don't even have to go to another state. In Wisconsin, after the pandemic, so many workers left the industry. We've tracked over 100 restaurants in Wisconsin that switched to paying a full minimum wage with tips on top because they couldn't afford to find people. People couldn't afford to work for $3. So they had to raise wages in order to recruit and retain staff.
Yeah, so critical. My guest for this installment of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money is Saru Jeyaraman. She is, again, the president and co-founder of One Fair Wage. She's also authored Behind the Kitchen Door, a national bestseller, as well as Forked, a new standard for American dining. And most recently, One Fair Wage, ending subminimum pay in America. She was listed in CNN's top 10 visionary women, which is freaking awesome. And you are also acknowledged by the James Beard Foundation, which I took special note of. James Beard, for those who aren't foodie wonks, is considered sort of the gold standard in American restaurateurship. gives out annual awards. And for the James Beard Foundation to acknowledge this tipping problem, I thought was really, really key. When you talk to restaurant owners, especially those, now we have celebrity chefs, are they coming to this movement as well? Do they understand that tipping doesn't work?
A lot of them do. And as I said, since the pandemic, we've tracked, I think at this point, we've tracked close to 6,000 restaurants across the country, including lots of celebrity chefs, but also small mom and pop restaurants around the country who are saying, look, we just honestly can't afford, it's not working anymore. It's not sustainable. We can't find people willing to work for these wages. And frankly, you know this, Maggie, in much of the country, including Wisconsin, workers are having a hard time finding to be able to live anywhere near where the restaurants are, you know, like,
yes,
rent is so high, gas is so high. Like, for, if you think about a $3 wage and the cost of a gallon of gas, you're not going to pay more to get to work than you get when you get there. And when there's a slow day or there's a blizzard or a, you know, a very hot day, that's all you get. You don't get the tips. And so yeah. I think there's a reckoning happening, both because, look, post-pandemic, so many workers said enough is enough. 1.2 million workers walked off the job. Thousands of restaurants had to raise wages. And yes, we've had a lot of new supportive restaurant owners join forces with us. But also, as you started the show, there's a tipping point where there's general tip fatigue. Tips have gone down. It's now undeniable that tips have gone down since the start of the pandemic to now. And that has resulted in a lot of workers saying, I honestly don't make enough in tips to make this job worth it anymore. And so all of that combined means there is no future for this industry unless we pay people a full livable wage with tips on top.
My special guest, Saru Jeyaraman. We're going to have more when we come back after these brief messages. We got to take care of some business, including, why are we talking about not taxing tips? Is that actually the solution? I have my doubts. Saru weighs in after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, folks. We'll be right back with more Maggie and the Millionaires talking money.
Boy, baby, do a leap and make them dance when they come on. Everybody looking for a dance floor to run on.
If you wanna run away with me, I know a galaxy and I could take you for a ride. I had a premonition that we fell into a rhythm where the music don't stop for life. Glitter in the sky, glitter in my eyes, shining just the way you like. If you're feeling like you need a little
welcome
bit
back, Wisconsin. And welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, folks. We've got two more sets of Brewers tickets for tomorrow's St. Louis game to give away before the end of the show. Don't go anywhere. That might keep you around, but this is the information that absolutely should keep you around. My special guest is Saru Jeyaraman. She is the president and co-founder of One Fair Wage, a national organization working for a full and fair minimum wage for every person who works in America. Before the break, Saru, we mentioned, and again, you're on mute, just to be clear, we mentioned that both Vice President Harris and President Trump have proposed eliminating income taxes on tips. Certainly, as a foundational point, lowering taxes on people that have to work for a living and get paychecks, especially those that are most economically vulnerable. We should be looking at every available policy to reduce income taxes on folks like that. But this seems to me to be a bit of a distraction, like a look over here while we're not really solving the fundamental problem. Are eliminating taxes on tips a good idea?
So first of all, I do want to say that restaurant workers are thrilled. We have 300,000 in our membership, and We represent 14 million nationally. And look, this is the first time tipped workers, restaurant workers have been discussed at all in a presidential campaign. And so it is heartening to finally see the needs of these workers uplifted in poll after poll. These workers, young people, Black voters, Latinx voters, has named cost of living and jobs with living wages as the absolute top most important issue for this year's election. So it's heartening that it seems like both candidate campaigns are getting that. It's unfortunate that, like you said, it's this solution, because our research shows that 2/3 of tipped restaurant workers do not earn enough income to pay federal income tax. And so 2/3 of workers wouldn't even benefit from this proposal. What's clearly really needed is a raise. What's clearly really needed is for employers to be required to pay workers a full, fair minimum wage with tips on top. It is only fair. Look, every other industry, every other employer has to pay the minimum wage. Yeah. Why does this one industry get to be left out? And why would this one industry get a tax break compared to every other worker? Every worker deserves a full, fair minimum wage with tips on top. Now, for tips that are on top of a full minimum wage, sure, let's not tax them. But let's get everybody first and foremost to get paid by their employer a living wage that allows them to count on that wage, know that it's coming regardless of, as you said, hurricanes, blizzards, hot days, or having to show a little skin to the customer that comes in and demands it. I mean, during the pandemic, we heard from thousands of women. Yeah. I'm regularly asked, take off your mask so I can see how cute you are before I decide how much to tip you. And that was the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, tip of the iceberg, pun intended. I mean, this is, I have worked in service. I didn't work in service for very long. And even back then, I worked at a lunch and breakfast joint, which is a slog, to say the very least. And I was young. I was 16. I got comments all the time, and they weren't from creepy guy. It was just older gentlemen thinking they were being friendly, but I was constantly being assessed. I've heard horror stories from my friend. I had a number of friends when I lived in New York that did bottle service. I can't even tell those stories on the radio. This is such a fundamental issue. And the idea that this impacts women and women of color so acutely, I think, needs to be emphasized. And I feel like the discussion of eliminating tax on tips isn't just a distraction. It's literally picking people's pocket.
That's right.
Right? Like, look over here at this bright, shiny thing while I rob you blind. Exactly. Because the problem is the underlying wage. There are 14 million restaurant workers in the U.S. We know that approximately 1.2 million people have left the industry. I hope that we have reached the tipping point.
I really hope so, too, because can I tell you something else that's problematic with the no tax on tips? During the pandemic, 2/3 of tipped workers, including in Wisconsin, told us they couldn't get unemployment insurance because in states like Wisconsin, they were told their wages were too low to qualify for benefits. So the less taxable tips are, the less workers are going to be eligible for things like unemployment insurance and Social Security and lots of things later in life, which will affect them. And so what we need is for people to be paid an actual legitimate wage by their employer that the government will recognize when awarding benefits. And I do just want to say, Maggie, your experience is the common experience. Most people don't work in the fine dining restaurant downtown. Yeah. They work in the corner breakfast place, or like I said, the IHOP or the Denny's or the mom and pop Mexican restaurant. That's where most people work, and they struggle with the absolute highest rates of sexual harassment. And you're right, it's women and women of color. And can I add young women?
So yes.
One in two Americans and one in two women, this is the first job that they encounter. It's the first time they're exposed to the world of work, and they are asked to do all kinds of crazy things. So I've interviewed women later in life who say, you know what, I've been sexually harassed later in my career, but I did nothing about it because it was never as bad as it was when I was a young woman working in restaurants, which means this industry sets the standard for what women and men consider acceptable in the workplace, and that's unacceptable.
It truly is. Frankly, Saru, I don't even need to be here. I just need to ask you a question because you know so much about this. And I'm so appreciative of your passion and clarity about, frankly, the moral rights and wrongs here. It has always been anathema to me from the first day that I ever worked that job that this was the job that I would make less than the minimum wage. I went home many days when things were slow with barely $3 per hour. It was excruciating and damnedly hard work as well. To me, the thing that really bothers me most about all of this is I see this as a shifting towards, frankly, trying to get more and more American workers off payroll, calling them contractors or gig workers so that we can eliminate all of these sorts of benefits that we're talking about. Is this part of a pattern, Saru?
It's intentional, Maggie. What, during the whole healthcare reform debate under President Obama, restaurants tried to claim tipped workers as independent contractors, saying they work for customers, not for us, in order to not have to cover them in the exchanges that were set up during Obamacare or healthcare reform. So they already think this way. They want to say we shouldn't have to pay more than $2 or $3 because you, the customer, pay them. They work for you, which is absurd and ridiculous because let's be real, who profits from the value of those workers' labor? It's not the customers. It's the employers who end up getting these workers to sell their products, their food, their service, and who ends up making the money at the end? It's the employers. It's especially the big chain restaurants that are raking.
Yes. Thank you so much, Jaru. This Saru, this conversation will continue. My special guest, Saru Jayaraman, she is the president and co-founder of One Fair Wage. We could talk about this before. A long time. I really appreciate your efforts. Folks, we're going to put where you can find more information in the show's blurb for today. You can find that at civicmedia.us. Again, you can check out Saru's work at One Fair Wage. You can read about their organization. It's time for a full and fair minimum wage for all. I'm Maggie Dawn. We've got another special guest coming up. It's Kristen Alfheim. She's running for State Senate District 18. You're not going to want to miss it. Giving away Brewers tickets next. Here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.